You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Reality NSFW fans worldwide, you can get 20% off when using promo code Survivor going to manscaped.com before you shave your balls.
You may hear a new commercial later in this broadcast.
You do. It was so funny because right, I was on my patio watching Survivor, Johnny, and I told my son Ryder, I was like, dude, you can go and comment and shit and watch our shit live or whatever. Cause I played him the Manscaped commercial. He's like, should I go in the chat and say, hey dad, what promo code is it to shave my ball? I was like, yeah, dude. Oh, man. He loved it. And then I tried to play it for my younger son. And then Tessa's like shaking her head, like, what the fuck is this? This is so inappropriate. Johnny's like, oh, I've had sex. Hey, anyways, wait for the commercial. It was a good one.
It's a good new. You guys that sometimes like to fast forward through the commercials, we like to update them to keep you on your toes. And holy moly, Manscaped, you're welcome. We went above and beyond with a peek behind the curtain, as we like to say. But welcome. It's Reality yes. NSFW. I'm Johnny Fairplay. Survivor Hall of Famer, joined by my favorite fan from Fans versus Favorites, the nicest survivor of all time, the Matt Bitt. And we have just as we have this entire season, Alex Trias, who's killing it, brother. What's up, Alex?
Oh, thanks, man. Lucky to be here. It's another good episode.
There's three opinions. So, like, I just want to. Before we break down the episode, like, this was an episode that had two challenges. It had tribal council, and then we don't get any previously on. It's like right into the episode. It's right after tribal. So we're getting a lot of stuff. I was kind of like shocked kind of at some of the outcomes, and I was trying, it was a little bit sometimes hard for me to follow along because the editing was so quick of different conversations going. I would have liked to have kind of gotten longer bits of individual conversations around camp.
In between the immunity and tribal, there should have been more. So Shan is correct. Drop the four, hit the one. This is a new show. This isn't Survivor.
It's not.
I think it's an entertaining hour of television, and I like it. This is not Survivor 1 through 40. It's not.
No, it's not okay. Yeah.
That's okay. If they, you know, Jeff said we're hitting the reset button, you did hit the reset button. It's a different show, and that's fine. I'm cool with a different show, but this isn't the Survivor I watched for 40 seasons. Because the Survivor that I watched for 40 seasons, most of those episodes that I saw, they did a great job of storytelling of, you know, like they didn't, if you watch this episode tonight to see the story of Tiffany going home, they did shit fucking job telling you that story. Oh, yes. I'm not a Tiffany fan. So it's not like I'm sitting here going, oh my God, I really wish they had done Tiffany justice. So I, once again, I'm sure Tiffany is great as a person. I look forward to meeting her. I bet she's a ton of fun. I wasn't rooting for her on the show, but as a storytelling device, which I think is a very necessary component of great television, completely missing from this episode.
Yeah, I was sort of talking with Matt about it before you got on and before we went live. And I give my full thoughts here. I think they are doing good storytelling, but not the storytelling that we're used to. Like, they're they're focusing too much on stuff that's going to happen later. Like they're trying to show like the long-term story, but they're but doing such a good job editing the long-term, they're sacrificing the episodic part of the show. I was saying like this episode, we don't get as much Tiffany, and you think you would get more of Tiffany's insight behind it other than that, oh, I'm out of the vote. And maybe that's all it was, but we didn't get Sydney's perspective in episode 6 and 7 when it was ultimately her boot, other than she was like, oh, I'm nervous, it could be me. Dr. Death, when he goes out, you really don't hear much from him until he goes out. Abraham, you don't hear much from him other than I want the men to stick together. Then he goes home. It's like the person who goes home outside of like Brad, the episode was not about the person who went home.
Yeah. And it's a different, as I said, it's a different show. This isn't the Survivor that we saw 1 through 40. And I don't have a problem with that. We were warned before the season even started. We're pressing the reset button. This is a different deal. And I'm cool with that. So, like, Shan's right. Drop the 4, hit the 1. This is a whole new show. And if the way they're telling the story is a longer term story, it's not about the individual people, and you don't get the story of their individual vote, that's fine. So, but don't watch this expecting 1 through 40. And we were given the warning. I didn't heed the warning, and I'm cool. I enjoyed this hour. I thought this was a great hour of television, but for an episodic deal done in the same storytelling method that they've done, they have not done that, and that's okay. So, but I think we need to curb our expectation. Like if we're expecting to watch seasons 1 through 40 on this season, you're not going to get that. And, you know, don't expect that. So
I'm wondering what though, that we are people that dissect Survivor.
Yeah.
Johnny, you and I have both played. Alex, you're a super fan and you know the ins and outs more. So the details of every fucking episode ever, just like Zach Hecker did, more so than I do. But I will say this, it's interesting because obviously we have to podcast about it and break it down. But I also like to get, like, my kids have been watching Survivor with me, and I always in between, you know, commercials and stuff. And it is a completely different. And there's certain, sometimes like my kids are like, this is not, I don't like this season. Like, I like the other ones more, and they've seen, I mean, 26 when I was on, they were like young. So let's say between like season 30 and season 40, they really got into it and shit like that. And it's interesting to see like a newer, younger viewer's opinions on it, because I have my opinions, like the live tribal stuff, I'm tired of it. Like I'm cool with it once in a while. But the thing is, man, is the whole
Jeff set him up. He's just like, hey, like, you know, get, you know, are you guys ready to go do your live tribal shit? So
I was not down. I don't like that.
We needed like old Jeff Probst, who were like, right as he says, it's time to vote. Even with him doing that, like silly bullshit of like time to vote. And then Heather whispers, I would just be like, hey, I gave you a chance.
Yeah.
It's silent now.
You missed it.
And the like, you know, bearing the lead. It didn't change the course of the vote. The plan going in was Tiffany's going home. We're going to try to get Xander to flush his idol. Because Heather created the mess, the only difference that happened was they couldn't realistically convince him to play his idol.
Yeah. So,
I don't know.
Here's the way I'm looking at this. All right. Yeah. So, during the quarantine, we had a lot of people binging Survivor and watching Survivor. And I think seasons 1 through 40 watched episodically week to week, the method that they used was better with that format. But I think a lot of people binge the show, and a lot of people moving forward will binge the show. And I think this new format works better in a binge. I think if you're sitting there and you're binging, you know, the entire season in 2 days, this is a better show with this format,
because it's quick to go back and
because you're like the way we were watching it before, we were watching week to week with their family, going, you know, who do you think is going to go out tonight, and you had the clues, and you know, and and you're 60% going to guess right based on the clues. I think they're making this show to be watched as a binged show. And if you do that, it doesn't matter who, like, if you have a lesser character that's not in the overall story, you don't need to waste that much time of the episode giving the clues so that you're 60% probably correct on who goes. The story is the overall story. And I think this season is, you know, potentially the first of many that's built on the parameter of watched as a binged show.
That's an interesting thing to think about, because I'm like, oh man, they go right into the episode, like, you know, night 14 mm-hmm. after tribal, there's no previously on or none of that. So that makes sense. If you were to binge, you don't need that because you just watched three episodes. So that is an interesting theory.
I think that's exactly what this is made. But like, you know, we had the previously on at the midway part. So, you know, say you end up and then you start the second half and you're like, ooh, here we go. I think that, I mean, we saw when Survivor, when they dropped those two seasons during the pandemic on Netflix, I mean, it was trending. My social, I wasn't even on those two seasons and my social media exploded. Mm-hmm. So just because people saw, and then, you know, actively sought out other seasons, you know, by way of Paramount Plus. So we have two more seasons dropping next week. I'm on one of them. don't blink. So, but I think that this, the way the show is produced is being produced to binge watch. And I mean, like, look at the ratings are dropping, and they're not dropping because there's that many fewer people watching. Number one, there's that many fewer people watching cable or network or just television in general, you know, by primitive means. But I think a lot of people, like I haven't felt good the last few days. I binged season 3 over the past 2 days. Great. I could imagine watching that, you know, week after week after week. Like, it's like, oh no, go fuck yourself. So the formatting of this show is formatted for a binged show. And I'm cool with that, because I think when this season's done, and I think, they might be forcing everyone to go to Paramount Plus, but if they're going to drop this season right after the season on Netflix, I think it's going to kill. I think as a viewing experience, watching from start to finish, you're going to be like, fuck yes, this was great.
Right. I just think ultimately, I hope they can watch this and whatever they did for 42. They're probably still working out some of their episodes for that, especially now that it's been pushed a month because of Celebrity Big Brother. It's not going to be on until March 9th. I would like to say and give hope of, like, they see this, they see some of the reaction, they can tweak this. It can work. It can work for a bingeable, but I think there's ways you can tweak it where you can have that long-term storytelling and still have that episodic feel where you understand why X goes home.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. Like, I was mad at it because, like, I think, you know, after watching something for 40 seasons, you just get conditioned. But it's I can be conditioned to watch it differently. I mean, as I said, like, at the end of the hour, I was just like, I enjoyed that hour. This is not the Survivor I've watched for 40 seasons, but like, I finally kind of pieced it together in my head. They're not making that fucking show anymore. They're making a new show that's meant to be watched differently. And I think it kind of sucks for the weekly viewer.
Right.
It is a better story told as a whole.
I'm just wondering though, like, the people that do like Survivor's been on for 40, now 41 seasons.
You can go back and watch one of those other 40 seasons.
I
don't remember shit that happened on. I mean, like, Alex is just like, hey, who got what? Like, I don't even know the name of my fucking tribe on fucking Micronesia.
No, but I'm just saying
my tribe name.
I'm just saying, like, Survivor lasted on the air with a certain formula for years. Now that it's changing, do you think that's going to hinder Survivor or help Survivor?
But the viewing of Survivor has changed. Mm-hmm. The viewing of Survivor has changed.
Yeah. Overall, honestly,
Or the viewing of television has changed, not Survivor. The viewing of television has changed. If more people are binging shows, thank you. My tribe was called Malakal, rumor and innuendo. We don't know if that's true. I'm not giving you a prize.
But overall, I don't think this is one of the better seasons of Survivor in general.
You know what?
I like it, but I'm not loving it.
And that's fair.
But you might, once you see it, once you get to the end, this might be one of your. It might not. I think it's a little convoluted for no reason. I think they should have rolled with the cast. But at the same time, I think if you're binging this show, if you don't watch this until it's all over and you binge at the end, I think you walk away going, "Whew, that was a fucking roller coaster, man. That was fucking." And you didn't waste your time on motherfuckers that weren't important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, we saw Heather have a couple confessionals tonight for the first time.
All right, well, maybe I had some. Oh my god, I was so furious earlier. I had some piece of shit fucking tell me they're just wanting to give you a spoiler for the season. Tiffany wins, and I was furious for about fucking 2 hours today. I mean, just fucking livid. And then I was just like, okay, this is a season of save. No spoilers. I don't like spoilers. It does not help the podcast, I promise.
But it's starting off, it's night 14.
Yep.
And boy, oh boy, thinking back to last week and Xander's brilliant move, I think Xander is extremely smart. He's an amazing player, especially for his age. I love
he's down Xander. Low smart. Low key smart.
Yeah. Low key. That's the word. My stock in him builds each episode. Like each episode now, I'm seeing more promise in him, but he still has the downside of being a 20-year-old kid playing this game.
Oh my god.
Like, he has the right ideas, but then like some of the things for example, I understand why he stepped out. I would never have stepped out of a challenge when I know I'm someone whose neck is on the chopping block.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does have a lot of the advantages, and I thought for sure he was going to fucking get
there. I thought he was going to find that shit too. But then I didn't feel bad afterwards because he was just like, he goes, I didn't, like, you know, he didn't sit out intentionally, you know, hoping to find an advantage or whatever. He's like, he goes, I sat out because I'm smart enough to know that I'm on the bottom. And I know that losers are more apt to work together than winners.
Yeah, that's what I really liked.
And I'm just too. Like, man, this guy, Xander at 30 is a fucking, like, Xander at 20 might be a winner. I don't know. But Xander at 30.
Forget 30, Xander at, like, 25.
Xander at 25 is a winner of this game.
Yeah, 10 seasons later.
I love him because typically this type of player... You know, that, you know, long hair, surfer bro kind of guy.
Yeah. This is not Fabio.
No, I mean, Xander is, he's so fucking smart. And I was texting me. I always text with Michael Snow and he's loving Xander too. Like Xander is so good. Like staying with the losers was super clever. And then, the fake idol. And that's Michael Snow's new favorite player. And I agree. I think Xander is awesome. I hope that he doesn't get to be so much of a threat that he just can't hold it together. And a player that I've actually liked throughout this season. I think Shan throughout the season has been a good player, but she's starting to wear on me in a negative light tonight's episode. She started to annoy me a little bit.
I know a lot of my friends are saying the same sentiment. I don't have that same sentiment. I still very much enjoy Shan. I enjoy seeing a flawed player. Mm-hmm. Like someone who's just perfect and amazing at what they do the entire time is not, for the most part, it's not entertaining TV. Because then it becomes predictable. It's like, oh, they're just going to keep getting their way. They're going to keep getting their way. And those end to be the boring seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't like Shan... Mike Holloway.
What's that?
I didn't like Mike Holloway. Like
during Mike his Holloway season,
winning. Like I didn't like that.
It was predictable.
I didn't like Ben. I didn't. So in real life, Ben and Mike Holloway, two of the coolest dudes I've ever met. ridiculously cool. Like, I mean, like, you meet them, you're like, oh, thank God you won. I mean, you deserve it just for being a cool motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, I love Mike Holloway. I mean, I actually like Ben a lot. I hated Christie, so I love Ben in his season.
But you haven't met Ben.
I have not met Ben in person, but I liked him on the season.
Ben's going to be at Hearts Reality. You coming to Hearts Reality?
I'm not.
Oh, Ben's going to be there. I'm so excited to see Ben. I gotta ask, because I heard something, like, I don't even know if this is true. It was on Reddit. I don't know.
But yet,
so, something about his profession before.
But back to Shan. Like, she, I agree with what you're saying, Alex, but like, her starting to annoy people, I guess that's good, because like her relationship with Deshaun is starting to get a little rocky and stuff like that. But I just think that she's just a little coming across a little bit overbearing, even when Ricard and her, who've got, you know, they've been real prominent this season. I love Ricard, and we're really not seeing much of Ricard in the edit, you know, like we were early on. So I'm hoping that, you know, he's,
I think,
still
it's intended.
Yeah. So, I mean, my favorite players, just real quick right now, I mean, I think the people that are the top four potential winners for me are Xander, Evie, Shan, or Ricard. Would you guys agree with that?
Well, I like the majority of this cast. Like, there's really no one I dislike that's remaining in this season. Like, there's no one who's given me a reason to dislike.
So Heather's your favorite player of all time?
Oh, ironically, Heather's a queen.
I was about to go Team Heather.
But it's like,
Alex has been preaching the virtues of Heather since episode one.
Yes. Yes.
For those of you not paying attention, it's been nothing but Heather talk.
No, it's really just because if they're not going to give her time, I will give her time.
Yeah. But, I mean, someone owes her some time.
Right.
What did she sign up for?
But what I like about this cast is there's no clear person to me who's like, oh, there's a lot of good to above average players on this season, but no one yet that's like that great or approaching those like top tier style players yet. They're all flawed, and we're seeing those flaws. And I like seeing imperfect characters, because it gives them something to work towards, and it also is storytelling. And if Shan goes, we're seeing the story as to why she goes. She's playing more mafia instead of pastor, and I think the combination between that and her just starving is like really messing up her game, because I don't think this is how she was playing in the pre-merge. Like, I think she was very strong-willed, good mentally. I think just the lack of food and seeing other people get to eat is getting to her.
I agree. That's a great, see, sometimes you have to like change my mind. That is a great statement, because yes, she became very irritable acting this episode, very angry, bitchy, very when Ricard came
angry
and grabbed a little papaya and she went off on him.
We'll get to the papaya.
I'm just saying that makes a lot of sense. But back to the beginning, Liana and Evie.
Yep.
Well, Liana's 100% with Evie.
But Evie's like,
what she said.
Yeah, but Evie's like, no way am I going to be the same. This is, our relationship is not going to be the same after this. No, no way.
Yeah.
Personally, it'll be fine. Game wise.
Yeah. Yes.
No.
Is Liana ever happy?
No. She doesn't get her way. This is the first episode where she somewhat gets her way.
Yeah. But I don't feel like she's happy. Like, I feel like I don't feel like she's hangry. I feel like I don't think she's getting the fun survivor ride that she signed up for. Because, like, going into this thing, she's young. She, you know, she's vibrant. She's beautiful. I'm just like, you know, the red carpet should have been rolled out. Just like, hey, all right, here's Tropical Vacation Survivor. It's like Trishelle signing up for All-Star, the Challenge All-Stars. And she was like, I just, what was it? I thought we were going to be sitting by the
pool. Oh yeah, like sitting by, like the pool, drinking cocktails.
and playing sugar.
Yacella was like, we're not playing sugar cookies in the sand anymore.
Yeah, well, I thought we were coming to play sugar cookies in the sand. Like, you know, Chichelle's like she's jumping out and she's just like, this is not what I signed up for. I'm like, it's a challenge. So I felt for me, like I thought Liana was gonna play sugar cookies in the sand Survivor, and it was gonna be great. And I was gonna see this happy go lucky, you know, young woman, you know, enjoy the game of Survivor. And I feel like every second is like this. Like, I don't think I'm supposed to leave, but none of this looks fun for her.
I think she's like, I kind of can relate. Like, I joke around and laugh and goof off 24 hours a fucking day. And when I played Survivor as a fan, I was like, holy shit, I'm playing Survivor. And I took the game very seriously. My confessionals, a very, very serious tone, focus on strategy. And I think I was just a little bit too uptight that I was playing Survivor. If I had to do it over again, I would be like, I feel like I would let loose. And I had a blast. Yeah. But I'm just saying, I think maybe her problem is she's like so focused on her strategic game and playing Survivor that the true Liana fun is not out. If we went into a charity event and met her, she probably would be so fun.
I know,
in real life.
She and has I just don't be. I mean, like,
I just don't think it just shows.
Well, I just think again, it's just the change in the format. Like, I'm not saying they had more food than other seasons. Like, obviously, in some of the older seasons, they had about the same amount of food as they have in this season. But like the fact that you're combining having no food to start outside what's around, which is the papaya and whatnot, and the accelerated pace of play because you don't have that day where nothing's going on. I think the mental and physical fatigue that these players are going through is causing some of them to be like, this isn't as fun as I was expecting it to be.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not raining. It hasn't rained one fucking time.
According to the card, it's been raining every night.
Why don't they show it? It just...
So is that what he's saying on social media?
I think he posted it the Erica, or last episode when they showed Erica going through the rain. Yeah. The card like put a post for the preview of that going like, yeah, I'm glad they showed this because it was actually raining like this every single night.
Wow. Yeah. Like I remember when they were filming, like I was... I'm a nerd. I was looking at the weather in Fiji and like I was just like, yeah, fuck them. And so I mean, you know, some of us were hoping it was a returning season.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and we were trying to bring like, you know, we were hungry for Survivor. It had been a year. And so Liana's with 100% with Evie, but is she really? And then we see Evie on the apology tour. And why does Evie need to be on the apology tour? They tried to vote her out.
Well, because she was on the outs and she realizes that she's, and we see throughout this episode, she's a fan of the game. She's like, I need to figure out what I need to do. I think using apology tour is the wrong words from her.
Yeah, they need to be on the apology. I mean, like she needs to work her way.
Right,
like,
that's what I think she was meant to say, but she said apology tour instead. But yeah, like, there's nothing to apologize for. You tried to play the game. It didn't work.
Well, I mean, but she like it was one of two people going home. She had the second most amount of votes. I'm not going around saying, "Hey, I'm sorry that you didn't get me."
Right, and like, oh, I'm sorry that I didn't get you out. Let's work together in the future.
Yeah. But she is trying to like, you know, she is different. She has a different perspective. I love Evie as a character.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
I think she's a lot different than a lot of the other cast members on this season. And she makes a statement like, this reminds me of high school when you're like going to sit at your table and you get your tray and all the cool kids are sitting around. And you're like, where do I sit down? So I do feel like she mentally feels like an outsider slightly. But she doesn't really act totally like that. Sometimes when you see a tattooed kind of alternative type person, they play up how much of an outsider they are. Evie is kind of feels that way a little bit, I think. But she's also kind of in the mix of a good social game. She's a player that I thought I was going to totally hate, but I'm totally
Based on her, didn't she write the dissertation on her bio?
Her bio is 100 pages long, and I just, but I you know, it's again, I'm wrong on the cast assessment. I really dig her.
Evie's in my top four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for this season.
Did you say Evie's in your top four?
I believe I said Evie, Ricard, Shan, or Xander.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got Ricard, Shan, Evie. I guess I'm gonna go Nasir. This is Nasir. Never seen anyone so happy at everything.
I know, that's what people should appreciate. Like, yeah, he's appreciative,
happy
of everything. He's taking it all in, and he's not taking things for granted. And that's what I really respect about Nasir.
It's how he says it also. Like, he's with a smile on his face. He's like, I was listening to my heart. I needed to help these people. But let's be real. I would have won this challenge. I have chicken legs. But I'm like, he's gloating, but like, you can't even take it as gloating because he just has this big smile on his face.
I am for it all day long.
That's casting I want. Like, it's not even necessarily, like, he has gameplay, but we don't see it as much. But the character of Nasir is tremendous.
Something special. All right. So when all the cards are on the table, it appears as though Yase has completely split. And I don't know if that's 100% true, because I feel like Tiffany I think Evie still was Xander. I think Tiffany was there. So I think the only one that split was Liana.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And in the vote, they split up their votes. But like, I think it was more so they all realized, okay, our plan it worked sort of, but not really. We're a definitive 3 of 11. We want to work with each other, but we see the position that we're in. So, so every man for himself.
It was a last minute scramble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Deshaun believes Yase are idiots. I don't know if I back that philosophy, Deshaun. I like Deshaun. You know what?
Deshaun's in my top four.
I think I'm gonna make mine a top five. Yeah,
y'all just tried to vote me out.
I got time for Deshaun all day. So, I mean, but I got to stick. I mean, Ricard's my guy from jump. So since day dot, as they say,
well, from the very, when the catch was revealed, I was very confident a woman was winning the season. Deshaun is slowly changing my mind on this.
All right. I'm for it. So it's time for the challenge. And Jeff gives us a peek behind the curtain. And there's an advantage at the sit-out bench, and I'm sure Sandra got angsty watching this because there's no way that she's still in the game in Australian Survivor. I'm sure she was voted out day 2 and Tribals on day 3.
Well, let's hope she lasted like 3 rounds so that she could do better than Russell.
Oh, yeah, I do need to do one better than Russell.
Mm-hmm. But then after that, she can go.
You know what? I want Sandra to fucking win Australian Survivor, to be honest with you. I got love for Sandra.
So real quick, what do you guys?
Whoa, you got a problem with
Matt? No, I know you like Sandra, and honestly, if an American Survivor wins, then they're going to start asking more Americans to come play.
Well, there's that, but I mean, but like, say Sandra's out there. So Sandra's out there. The only people that I know she's out there with for sure is that Mark guy. And who did he hook up with on that season?
Mark, the Marine guy.
Yeah.
And the two people from 2017.
And he hung out with that like one.
Yeah. The one
girl
chick.
from that played World's Toughest Race or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, forget her name, but
yeah. So the two of them, it's Blood versus Water is the new season. Well, straight. So anyway, so they're on there.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I ain't rooting on them,
right?
I mean, I like her, but he sucked.
Yeah, he's a little creepy.
So I'm rooting for. So like, out of a cast of, you know, what do they start with? 48.
Yeah, at least 48. At least.
I know two of them that I like Sandra more.
You know what? I'll be all for that season as long as like Sandra has to go on the reward challenge instead of Cochran is King George.
Oh,
waiting for her.
No.
I would love that. No, King George, though.
Oh, yeah, King George. Yes, absolutely.
So Jeff, when he hides, he breaks the fourth wall.
Yes.
Is this getting old to you guys? Or are you guys cool with it?
I'm
totally fine with that.
I was fine. I'm fine with very minimal, like, especially because of the result. I liked his message at the end. He's like, oh, missed opportunity, maybe. Mm-hmm. Who knows? So, like, it helped actually direct the show, because then it further drove into, like, you don't know who's going to go home. Because it's like showing Xander making work was like, oh, is this the reason why Xander goes? Because he missed this.
Oh, right. Hold on. This is a pretty good comment. The Gemini Method, right? Straight up foreplay is a quitter. Russell would have never done that lame shit. Hey, Gemini Method, your mom's not a quitter. yeah, she likes the dick. All right, next. Oh, <God. laughs> just keeps on it and on it and on it and on it.
So you guys both played.
Yep.
And I think I know the answer that you guys will say. He's like, oh, is this worth playing for? And they're like, you're going to go back to camp and you're going to have some grilled cheese.
Yeah, that's kind of a weak
I feel
reward.
Like you wouldn't want cheese.
That's the Australian Survivor budget.
Yeah,
it's $8 challenge and a $2 reward. Here we go.
It's weak and even it didn't even play out that exciting. But I guess when they have so little food this season, that a grilled cheese is probably a lot better than just, you know, eating fucking nothing. So I think any kind of food would be better. I mean, we were talking in our Patreon coverage of Australian Survivor, and I was like, ooh, Johnny, they got an Indian feast. I love Indian food. He's like, yeah, dumb shit, but not when you're on Survivor on day fucking 40. You don't want Indian food. You know what I mean? So
instant diarrhea.
So
I love a shit reward like that. I am more than good. Like, I think it shows how anything means something.
Yeah. Right.
I'm for that. Yeah. I mean, I like that better than fucking, oh God, who's that shit player? The queen, that fucking talking about Applebee's dog shit food.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Krishna.
Yeah. I would much see the fucking for cheese and then hear Karishma fucking lie to me about how fucking good Applebee's is. Applebee's, I don't want is a fucking sponsor. It's okay. Because what do I fucking win? I don't want to go there. Their food sucks donkey dicks.
Dude, is Applebee's the Nickelback of like restaurants?
Nickelback is the Appleback. You can just stop there. you don't have to finish the sentence.
So this challenge, has a, you have to draw rocks to determine your team you're going to be on for this challenge, to who you're going to compete against. One rock.
You ever draw on rocks? Like draw a little like kind message to someone?
I've painted rocks before, but
you're lame.
I think I've painted rocks. I'm pretty sure. But yeah. So Erica draws the rock, which puts her on the bench, and then Xander stands up and says, I want to switch. I will take your place. Yeah. And I was
so happy that Erica got the odd rock.
Well, not only did she get the odd rock, it was almost exactly the same exact teams.
Yeah.
Right.
That was fate going, hey, you fucked up with this stupid hourglass bullshit. Can we try this again and do it right this time?
Now, I really wish that Xander would have found the clue. Did we even know what it was? Was it just a clue?
It just said advantage.
Advantage. I really wish, because it showed, like, it kept showing him at the bench kind of looking around. I'm really surprised, because I was like, oh, this motherfucker's smart. He knows that there's something there. Yeah. That's why he did this. He's going to find it. And
but he did it for another smart reason. He did it for equally a smart reason. He didn't do it just to be a good person.
Right.
Which I was cool with. If he had done it just to be a good person, I would have been like, fuck this dude.
I mean, like, and the fact that he does it twice in one round, I feel like if you're other people, this guy's like, guys, I love Xander. Sanders needs to fucking go. Mm-hmm. He is brown nosing everyone. I'll vote for him if he's there at the end.
Right.
But Erica, Evie, Danny, Erica, Evie, Danny, Ricard, and Deshaun are the ones who end up winning this challenge. Do you guys even want to talk about the challenge?
The main part is Evie decided to Spencer Bledsoe this and create the challenge in her at home and was able to just be like.
Well, more so Nick on Australian Survivor.
Also Nick.
But does Spencer know?
Spencer, the 5-piece puzzle, because he knew it wasn't used, he created a 3D printed copy of it and tested it. When he saw it on Second Chances, he completed it in like 3 seconds.
Okay, that's but he doesn't have a book of the puzzles, though.
No, it's not like Nick.
Yeah. Okay, so Matt, on Australian Survivor, there's this guy named Nick.
You'll meet him soon.
Yes, you'll meet him soon. So Nick has a book of every puzzle done on US and Australian Survivor. And it has just memorized every fucking
puzzle. That's fucking genius.
So he, on a challenge, he's just like, I can do this blindfolded. Yeah, Nick Iodanza.
It's Iodanza. I think it's an A.
He is fucking awesome. He knows you want to win $1 million. Why not take the time to do your fucking homework?
But you also want to win $1 million. You want to know what else you should do? Not openly say it to Jeff that I make these at my home. You're just so amped up. You give that away. And then it gives Shan another reason. Like, she knows this game too well.
Oh, Evie is definitely saying some things and doing well to where people are like, oh, Evie needs to get out of here because Evie could fucking win the shit.
But Evie's also somebody that if I'm not in a perfect alliance and I'm kind of looking around to form my own alliance.
Yeah.
I'm looking to join up with Evie. Mm-hmm.
She's a free agent. In their mind, if they believe that Yase's fractured, she's a valuable free agent.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, as dangerous as she is, if I'm not, if there's a group that finds her dangerous and I'm not a part of that group, I'm teaming up with Evie and I'm just like, all right, let's do some damage collectively on these people that think you are dangerous.
Right.
So Erica, Evie, Danny, Ricard, and Deshaun are going to be eating grilled cheese and we see Shan, who is basically starting to feel the effects of starvation. She's crying because she's so hungry. Then Liana's crying. And then it looks like Xander is.
It looks like Xander is crying because they're crying because he's a good dude.
I know. I was like,
cry when I see other people cry.
I think he's crying. It shows that he, you know, he's playing this great game, but he does have a heart. And you see it right here. And they're obviously starving.
You know what I would be crying about?
What's that?
If I had a bush down there that I couldn't control.
Well, let's take a word from our sponsors, and we will be right back covering the last part of this episode.
Ho, 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 gentlemen. The holidays have come early here at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products, including their ultra new, ultra premium body wash and a 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It's time to give yourself or someone who needs it the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. Go to manscaped.com and use promo code SURVIVOR for 20% off and free shipping.
Jingle balls to the walls. Fellas, listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, and it's possible you have Santa's beard in your pants. Could be Matt Bischoff's. It's time to leave your significant other some cookies and milk at the bottom of your chimney. I'm talking about Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Oh, now, I had a lot of sex. When I got back from my last appearance, I literally had sex 8 times in 12 hours. And I did some damage down there, fellas. I did some serious damage. I had to call my doctor. There was swelling. There was everything else. It was bad. But you know what wasn't bad? My balls, because I shaved them with Manscaped. Oh, there was the lighting at the top of the tree, but the bottom of the tree looked perfect.
Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to reduce cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. It's like a gift to your partner with less mess. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, moisturizer, and toner. It's time to keep your North Pole feeling and smelling fresh.
This hygiene bundle will also come with a pair of Manscaped anti-chafing boxers. God bless it. I needed and used that this week. I promise you. The perfect package for your perfect package. Manscaped is going beyond the groin with their new ultra premium body wash. It's infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized.
They also just launched their new 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, which has key ingredients with benefits that include hydrating, nourishing, conditioning the scalp, and strengthening your hair at the same time. Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, your friends, your neighbor, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Reality NSFW listeners get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Every guy out there needs to add Manscaped to their wish list this holiday season.
This is Santa Claus talking to you once again. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That is 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use promo code SURVIVOR. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing as a midnight snack right before bed.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories per serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. And build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my favorite, maple waffle. Now, Magic Spoon recently brought back their two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Thank goodness. But they're back permanently. And when these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. Now, I'm here to let you know you can get them again or try them for the first time. Why? Because they're delicious and indulgent.
Johnny, Magic Spoon has so many great flavors that I really enjoy, and even my kids enjoy them. We have the cocoa, fruity frosted, peanut butter. All these are really great combinations. They enjoy waking up in the morning and getting some Magic Spoon right off to start their day great before they head off to school. I think everybody listening should give Magic Spoon a try, or if you've tried them already, it's time to reorder. Let's get you some more Magic Spoon and get your day started right.
Hey, when I finish a podcast late at night, the first thing I'm thinking is not sleep. It's let me grab a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon before I go to bed.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop. and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
No questions asked. Remember to get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this podcast.
Wow. Wow.
All right.
Everyone is hungry on Survivor, and everyone is hungry now that they've seen our Magic Spoon advertisement. Fuck. I mean, the hunger is real on Survivor, right? Like, you really don't have a lot of shit.
I like that they're starving. So I think a lot of people were worried about the 26-day format. They're, you know, like, are we really going to get Survivor? These motherfuckers are miserable. That Survivor.
And yeah. It's creating, like, not good gameplay, but, like, cracked gameplay.
Yeah, I'm for cracked gameplay. As you said, an imperfect player is a more human player. I don't want to see a game bot.
No, right. I don't either. And, like, yeah. Like when we saw, like, the Dom Wendell alliance dominate, I mean, I love it. Was a beautiful thing watching that, but it does, like, certain things become very
predictable. I like Dom and Wendell, but you know, it wasn't exciting. As I said, right, the entire season was set up on the premise of Dom versus Chris Noble, and then it was like it was like, you know, going to a 4th of July extravaganza, and they like the little snake thing, and it's like,
right. It's like with Wendell and Dom also that season's like you knew one of those two was winning like almost the entire season. This season, honestly, with how people are going now, you truly I don't know who wins.
No, yeah.
I mean, according to previous seasons, Shan is getting the winner's edit thus far,
but I don't think she is. I think Deshaun's getting it right now.
I'm just saying, if you did confessional count on Karen Moen, okay. Cochran has like over eight, if you look at the fucking eight zillion to fucking nothing. Yeah. Shan has had the most confessionals by far of anybody. So the old Survivor, you would think, oh, she's gonna fucking win. Probably wow. not, but I'm saying she's got tons of fucking confessionals.
Alex's smart money's on Heather.
Oh yeah, smart money's on Heather.
So Shannon,
Heather's unanimous vote.
So Shannon and Liana are wanting to vote out Evie.
Yeah.
And Nasir seems to be on board with this when they're talking, and then they go to Xander about the possibility of voting out Evie as well. And I do think Evie is someone who's a dangerous player. And if she makes it far, I think she's conniving and just great, you know. And back to Nasir, he doesn't give a shit about grilled cheese, and honestly I wouldn't really either. Like he goes and finds papaya, and yeah. I love the fact that he's this person who is lived his whole life kind of to play Survivor, right? Like He's lived in fucking nothing, like in a hut. So he knows what the fuck he's doing. So he finds this papaya. He brings it back to his tribe, and they're all enjoying some papaya. And then you see everyone come back from the grilled cheese reward. Yeah. And here's the thing. Ricard comes back, and he grabs a piece of papaya, just like a little piece, and eats it. And
well, Shan Ricard comes back and goes, ooh, papaya. Because I'm guessing he hasn't had papaya since he's been on Survivor. And guess what? Part of Survivor is like when you do Survivor, it's just like, you know, we gotta eat coconut. And then like what, you know, once we we had a reward where we won oil and we made the popcorn. You know, you cut the coconut into little cubes and you put the little oil on there and a little salt water, and it's like popcorn. And I mean, you trick yourself, and because we saw that on a previous season of Survivor, so we wanted to do that. You want to experience what you've seen. Like, it's no secret watching this show that everyone there has seen this show, I think, you know, for the first time in a long time. It's not a bunch of fucking recruits and actors. And so they've seen the show. They want to experience the show. You know, you've seen people eat exotic fruit. What are those fruit things?
I know what you're talking about. Not danger fruit. What are they called?
Breadfruit.
Breadfruit.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, breadfruit. Well, when if I go back on Survivor, I want to try breadfruit. I've never. I don't even know what breadfruit fucking is. So I want it. No. So if I come back from a reward, I see people eating papaya. I'm like, ooh, papaya. Like, you know, like I've probably only had papaya in my life less than five times ever. So it would be my potentially fifth time ever having papaya. And I would like to have a bite of papaya because that there might not be any more, you know, there might be lots, there might be a little, I don't know, but I would love to have a bite of papaya while I was on Survivor. And then when I come home, you know, to Piper and Madeline, I go, hey, you know, let's try a new fruit. Dad had papaya on Survivor.
Yeah. Well, the fact that Shan went off the handle on it, I was fucking pissed. I was like, what in the fuck is your problem? This is where I started getting pissed at Shan. And I like Shan. But I was like, dude, you're kind of overreacting.
It's not like
he took a bunch. He took a little fucking piece, right? And I get it. She's like, you guys fucking did this. Maybe you should have asked. But come on. And Ricard's like, fuck. Like, looks like I fucked up. I thought it was lame. I think it was dumb.
Shan needs a Snickers.
Well, I'm not going to argue that it was dumb of Shan to react that way. I think that's something that she could have stuck to confessional, be like, hey, these two have been eating. Like, I was saying that to my friend because my friend was getting pissed about it too. I'm like, well, first off, there's no point as the viewer being pissed about it. You're not the one impacted by it. But it's like, I can see her side where I'm starving. Side. I'm on empty. I'm on zero. They just had a feast 2 days ago. They just ate to their extent of grilled cheese and whatnot 10 minutes ago. We finally find something to eat, and then the people who have been eating this entire time get to eat more, and that takes away from the people who haven't eaten. Like, it's very old school Survivor, I feel, of that mindset.
Right. I just laugh. So you guys, like, we're watching these comments pop through on our screen, and Robert Allen put, could she be on her period? That just made me fucking laugh. I mean, could be people. I mean, there was many people on their period. I mean, not many, but there were people on their period when I was on Survivor Caramo. And, but yes, I know what you're saying.
Brandon Hans was on his period.
He was, but I don't think, I think there's a difference between Ricard coming back and eating a small piece of papaya versus like sometimes like, oh, hey, let's just, I know everyone just gets a cup of rice, but I'm going to eat like five cups myself.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a rude kind of thing. So I don't know. I thought Shan kind of overreacted. I was like,
it wasn't an overreaction.
Yeah. Alex, I mean, like, Alex is perfect in that, his comment in that you have a problem with it. That's a confessional problem, or even, you know, confront someone, you know, talk to someone later. It's just like, hey, did you see Ricard do that? That fucking sucked. Like, that is not a, hey, confront someone right there problem.
Especially if you're like, you're still considering them your number one at the time.
Yeah.
Like, don't blow up their spot. Like, say if it's confessional, be like, I'm pissed that they did this, but you know what?
Yeah.
I had to let it go behind.
That put Ricard on blast. And having to do unnecessary damage control for someone that you're allegedly aligned with.
But back to what Alex was saying, is this is where we see the flawed game. I think this is a flawed reaction. This was a I'm hungry, I'm emotional reaction. I don't think Shan normally would react maybe in this manner, but I think that due to the circumstances with the starvation, I kind of get, you know, where she's coming from. But I honestly don't think Ricard was doing this in any sort of malicious format whatsoever.
No. And like,
would you have grabbed a piece of, if you got on the reward map, would you have grabbed a piece of papaya when you got back?
Yeah. I think what I would have probably done is, let's say I come back, I'd be like, oh my God, what is that? Oh, Matt, it's papaya. I was like, oh, hey, do you mind if I have a little piece of that to try? That's how I probably would have handled it versus
Just
putting my hand and digging it and
but I felt like myself. He kind of did. Like, he was just like, ooh, papaya, like, strange, unknown, wow. Like, I mean, like, that, like, it was a curiosity grab.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think overall, end of the day, like, if everyone actually got to have the merge fees, we wouldn't be seeing some of these playoffs, just because they would have something in their stomach moving forward.
Yeah.
So let's go to the immunity challenge. That's what's up next. It's day 16, and you're basically standing on your kind of toes on a beam, and you have a, like, idol made out of wood wedge between your head and a beam up top. Last person holding up that, you know, idol is the winner. I love challenges like this. This is like Australian Survivor that we've been watching. It's an $8 budget. It's the anyone can do this. What I found really fucking lame, and I'm like, ugh, as much as I love the diversity of this cast and the cast as a whole in general, I'm like, are these people like the shittiest challenge people I've ever seen? Because this challenge apparently in the past has lasted for fucking hours, and this challenge lasted 4 fucking minutes this time, which is the quickest to chat. Just like, that's the fastest a fucking challenge I've ever fucking done.
It doesn't, like, all these challenge, like, every challenge could be a 4-minute fucking challenge. Mm-hmm. All we're trying to do is just pick one random person to win this motherfucker, and then the game of Survivor is not based on a challenge.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
So the fact that it lasted 4 minutes, God bless America. That's what
they're thrilled about that. Because, like, you've seen, like, all the challenges that would last a long time. They kept altering it so that it would only last, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
This is one of them.
Yeah, it was just kind of comical to me. Like, I was expecting, like, Danny to last, like, a long time or certain people. Like,
He's big.
I thought Danny had the advantage with his dreads in that it would rest in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that, being big, but still... He went 2 minutes.
Oh yeah. So this challenge,
Danny,
he doesn't want his threat level.
Danny, you want to last more than 2 minutes? Take a blue chew. Promo code Survivor. You'll hear the commercial at the end if you want to last more than 2 minutes, Danny.
So before this challenge goes down, which I love this style of challenge, Jeff gives them the option.
I always love the option.
Yeah, you can opt out of the challenge. One person can get this.
Cup of rice.
Little thing of rice, which is like that's what's crazy is they're not trying to bribe them with like large pizzas and, you know, nachos and cheese. They're bribing them with like the shit that was given to me on Survivor Karamoan, rations of rice. So this shows how
Brandon Hands just dumps out.
Just fucking does right. So they say you can opt out, or if you get multiple people to sit out and you are basically giving up immunity, but you're able to let the entire tribe get 3 days worth of food. So they start negotiating, and I like this negotiation process.
I think Shan's a crappy negotiator. Shan locked in on 5 pretty quick.
I would have went down to 4. Like, where they ultimately went up, when she said 2, he goes 7, like, okay, let's cut it down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the people like Xander.
He's hungry.
Xander again was like trying to take one for the team. Nasir is trying to do the same thing, even though Nasir later says that he could have won this challenge. I honestly would not. I haven't been in the predicament of how starved they are on this season. I mean, I was fucking starved on my season. As most people are fucking hungry, I still don't think I would give up my immunity slot a chance for food in any circumstance whatsoever.
So I'm going to say I agree with you for the most part from like my standpoint, but I had never been there. I've never been at that point of starvation where I feel like that's more important for 3 of the 4 people. And you can even include Xander of the 4 people. There was a good reason for them to do it, and part of it is hunger, but the other part is knowing your position.
Yeah.
Shan and Ricard are in the most, like, valuable position at that point in time because You still have the Yahtzee fracture. You don't know what's really going on there, but they're looking at Luvu because Luvu has five people. Mm-hmm. Luvu's still looking at Yahtzee because they are deemed the bigger threat because they're just two people. It's just Rakan and Shan. So they both, it's a good strategic move to do that because you're creating more goodwill with everyone by doing it. And you didn't need it. They still haven't had a vote cast against them in the merge portion of the game. Mm-hmm. Nasir, you know, he's a wild card. Nasir going to do what Nasir does because that is Nasir. And Xander is also trying to create goodwill. And he's like, even if I win the immunity, like, then I'm at a point where I'm going to have to keep winning immunities.
Mm-hmm. And I think more motivated, I think hunger motivation, more motivation was a ploy to lure Evie in to make her eligible to be voted out. I think Shan was just like, hey, like, I'm not the strongest person here, and I'm willing to volunteer this for the greater good of the tribe. And then she immediately deadlocks on Evie. She goes, Evie, wouldn't you do the same? Mm-hmm. Trying to coax Evie into giving up a shot of immunity so that she can be the easy target. So right. I think it was more, I think hunger was a qualifier, but I think more than anything else, it was a strategic move on Shan's mm-hmm. part to coax Evie into giving up her shot at immunity. Mm-hmm. And I like that gameplay wise. Like I like that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Great challenge. As I said, as I said, this is a standalone as an hour of television. This was great. So, but as far as episode, you know, as a individual episodic episode telling the story of Tiffany's
departure,
it's pretty fucking shitty.
Yeah, right? Like if you're Tiffany tonight at her viewing party and it's like there's absolutely zero closure to the episode kind of thing. You know what I mean? You'd be like, fuck. But I guess that's, you know, we're in a different.
But are they also doing that to leave it open-ended for people to potentially return?
Yeah, I mean, I think.
And your story's now not done.
Yeah,
I
don't
know. Even though you got voted out,
you
have the potential to come
back. Oh, you think there's like an exile?
No, not an exile. I'm saying like, because it's, you know, it's the 41 drop before Keith of One. They're not bringing back people from the first 40 seasons. It's leave, you have characters that you like, you leave it open, like sort of vague of why they necessarily went home and they can be brought back.
I don't give a fuck about shit like that.
I'm trying to make sense of it.
I think they're making the show to be binged because that's, I think when it's all said and done, you know, they're going to get, you know, a 6.8 in the ratings or whatever. But when it's all said and done, they're going to kill it. Their viewership will be done by people binging it in years to come.
Right.
Well, no one really lasts very long. Unlike taking a blue chew. I mean, Deshaun, Erica, Tiff out immediately. Then Liana, Evie, Heather, Danny drop out. And this is only
Heather three. Almost won.
Heather and Evie are the final two.
Yeah, so 3 minutes in, everyone has dropped out except Evie and Heather. And I'm like, if Heather actually wins this, like, I don't know. Production's probably going to be fucking pissed.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be pissed. They'll be like, well, we still won't show her then.
Yeah.
I think it was obvious to the viewer that Evie needs a lot more than Heather. But at the same time, I was like, well, Evie needs more being a target. But at the same time, Heather could potentially be a pretty easy boot. So I think Heather did need it as well.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But there's a line that Shan says, like, while, like, before the challenge, where she says, like, the people who got to eat more calories means you can do more. And it's like an open-ended, like, you can do more strategically, do more physically. And at the end, you had Heather and Evie. Evie got to eat multiple times. Heather hasn't. And I really, that could have been the game changer. It's just that Evie was stronger that day because she had food.
Yeah. There you go.
So Liana wants Xander to play his idol and basically vote out Tiff. This is where we're seeing the, hey, maybe it's going to be Tiff.
Yeah, I loved all this, but I wanted like another 10 minutes of this.
If I was
watching regular Survivor, but this is new Survivor, so maybe I don't need all this.
I wanted more. I was a bit confused.
I was thirsty for more.
Yeah. So Shan, Nasir, Danny, and Ricard say, you know, let's split the vote between Tiffany and Xander.
Yeah.
But Danny is saying, no. Let's split it between Nasir
and Tiff.
Yeah. And then Shan just does not seem down. And this is where Deshaun's just kind of like, I'm kind of getting over Shan kind of trying to make all the decisions around here. I think their alliance is fractured. Yeah. I don't think that the alliance, the
camp out alliance.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna last.
Yeah, and that's why people were overreacting. This is Survivor. Like, we don't see locked in alliances really anymore go, like, big alliances go all the way to the end anymore, truly. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's Shan being more the mafia side of her instead of the passer. Because you would think with her background, she would be a lot better with actively listening, because that's more of what Deshaun was saying. Deshaun was like, you're not actively listening to me. You're hearing my words come out of my mouth. And then you, without hearing me, said no.
Well, I like that Shan says she's not hearing Deshaun's voice and she's here to hear his voice. And it's like, this alliance is not long for this world, because they're already using couples therapy speak.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign. I mean, you're day four into this marriage and you're using couples therapy speak. No bueno.
As a fan though, I'm excited, because that means like next episode we're gonna see whole new things now come out.
Excited for Deshaun to emerge as a badass cutthroat player. I'm hoping that Deshaun, I think he's likable enough. If he just is like, I mean, we're seeing it now, and they're not showing this shit for no fucking reason.
No.
Deshaun is getting annoyed. He throughout the episode, hey, I don't want to be treated like a third grader. I don't want to be told what to do. And so I think it's going to be interesting. Now, I will say we have a confessional with Shan. I think it's a confessional. She's talking about being a pastor and how, yeah, this person's like, we should go on this mission trip and we should do this and we should do this. And then Shan's like, well, I'm the pastor. My way is the best way. I'm wondering what the fallout, that's a pretty, if I'm a pastor on Survivor, the spotlight is on you. Your congregation and all the Christians that are watching are like, okay, let's watch. We're going to nitpick everything Shan does. I know she's been getting a lot of hate and she is playing a game. However, this episode, this comment is just another check mark on the cocky Shan going crazy scale, I think. I think...
I'm cool with it.
I wouldn't say she's going crazy. I would just say she's gotten the taste of pre-merge of power. And she has this idea, because of the position that she's in, that she's the one who gets to dictate and be in the driver's seat and is like, trying to actively listen, but wants to have the control. She wants to see her around. She doesn't want votes on this year because he provides around camp. She's hungry.
My prediction is Deshaun or Ricard are going to get tired of it and vote Shan out.
Well, it sounds like they're going to get tired of it by next episode.
Yeah, I really think that Shan...
And then Shan has an idol, so...
I think Shan is going to be targeted.
And
then, you know... Xander starts getting people coming to him, saying Heather's name, and Xander's no dummy, and red flags are going up for Xander. He's like, oh, this is kind of weird. Like, where is this shit coming from?
Yeah.
And so, and then we see Heather's first confessionals. my kids big are moment. Like, who is this person?
I'm big
like,
moment Heather. For Alex.
Oh, yeah. Big man for
well, it's not the moment I wanted, though, because I like Shan. I don't want her going after Shan. I want her to go after someone else. Yeah. But, like, it's that really intricate spot, because someone always has to be the name. Mm-hmm. When you're right. Splitting in this version of the game where you have to split foes because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yep.
Someone always has to be a name. And then, like, it's more of a ask for forgiveness of the person you put the name out there, because obviously you're not going to put your own name. Mm-mm. You're not going to put yourself at risk.
Right.
That Nasir's not in the room. Okay, it's Nasir. Nasir's around. Okay, Heather's going gang water. It's Heather. It's Heather now. And then like, you just try to fix it. And it really wasn't Shan's idea for it to be Heather or Nasir. But because she's the middle person for all this, she's the one who's going to be getting the blame. Mm-hmm. Because while she's also trying, she's spinning a lot of plates right now. Mm-hmm. And the issue with spinning a lot of plates is you may get distracted and some of them may fall.
Now, it was kind of a shock and a little bit weird, you know, tonight with Tiffany. But I will, like, we didn't get this crazy, like, edit of Tiffany throughout this whole episode. However, I'm looking at my notes leading up to Tribal Council. We see a confessional from Tiffany who's basically saying, I don't know what's going on. No one is coming to me with a plan. And I'm basically willing to do whatever it takes to stay in this game. So that is a little bit of foreshadowing of how, mm-hmm. you know, things end up fucking going for Tiffany leading into Tribal Council.
But that is, I give kudos to Tiffany. If Tiffany's sitting there going, no one's telling me a name, you're the name. And she recognizes that. And I applaud her for that, because there's so many times just like, you know, they're not saying a name yet. I wonder who it's going to be. And it's just like, oh, God bless you. It's you.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Danny, yeah. Danny's the closest to me. He's like, so he's like, is it me? Maybe.
It might be.
So I really wish we had a little more.
Just a little more.
Just strategic gameplay conversations leading into Tribal Council. But this is a fast episode. A lot of shit going down, and we're Tribal going into soon. Tribal Council.
I would have preferred more game if I'm watching old Survivor. But hey, drop the four. Add the one. Here we go. So, it's different. It's new. So,
oh yeah, it is. It is. So,
but like overall, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say like overall, it was a very mundane tribal, because like for the most part, outside like Nasir saying, "Oh, I would have won." Yeah. It was like a lot of them more so not talking about what's going on in the game, but more so it's like, "Oh, we're all very calm right now, but we all know something's gonna drop." So we're all very like trigger happy right now. We're very sensitive. Once one person whispers, that's when the fireworks will happen.
Nothing was said in tribal. I can learn just like, as you said, it was a mundane travel. And then 100%. Jeff was like, it's time to.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah. And then Heather was like, I'm just going to do something real quick. And I'm just like, oh, sit the fuck down.
It didn't change the course. It like, that's the one thing. I was like, Heather, you finally get your airtime, and you're getting your airtime because you do something. You did something stupid, because like there at that point in time, you were not going to change the vote. You were at the end of tribal. People came in with a plan. They were going to do the plan no matter what. No matter what they were saying around their circles, which is why I don't understand why people were getting mad.
I like Heather's trying to switch the vote by talking to three people, and I'm just like, there's like 18 people left in the game.
Heather has no fucking. Heather's like Genie, completely fucking worthless. She has no idea what the fuck's going on.
Dude, Heather seems like a great person. What are you talking about? She's Alex's queen. Stop.
Dude, shit that I've read with Queen Sydney is Heather was. I mean, I don't know, but I believe. A mother. She just was being like a super know-it-all, like the super hardcore Christian type that's trying to fucking judge everybody and be a bitch. Those are the kind of people I don't like. So I probably would not like Heather. But I think
I would love Heather.
But Heather, yes, this live tribal, I'm sorry, guys. I'm just going to say I'm fucking tired of it.
This was
cool. I'm okay with it sometimes where I'm like,
I just
holy fuck, shit's crazy, but this was unnecessary. Yeah, I want to see
Jeff, what is the fuck down.
Yeah, what is the fucking point of me watching and paying attention to the conversations and the game strategy during the day leading up to tribal? You only have a little bit of time you know, from the immunity challenge to tribal to fucking get your shit going, and it's tense, and then they lock you down at camp. No more talking. We want to get the shit at tribal. And then when tribal goes live, that throws that all out the window. It's like, it fucking annoys me.
Yeah. So Tyler Warber writes, Natalie White won and she had 0.05 confessionals. LOL, was useless. Well, Tyler Warber, you say that, but I mean, Natalie White, she won Survivor, and you see her at all the events. You see her all over social media. She has embraced her win. She is the queen that we all asked for. She is a face of Survivor for years. Oh, wait. Oh, she's done.
Yeah. I mean, I prefer her winning over someone else.
Well, there is that.
She was smart enough to make sure she was attached to that.
There is option B.
Oh yeah, Mick.
Yeah, that motherfucker won't go away.
What I do like, I love Xander as a player. I love that Ricard is trying to get, like, even though I don't like the live tribal shit, Ricard was trying to get Xander to play his idol, and Xander did not. I like the fact that no one's playing any idols. No one did the stupid fucking whatever the fuck shit. What's it called? I don't even know what it's called.
Shot in the dark.
No one did that. So even though there's all these twists and advantages, none of that shit played into the game.
I really don't think we're going to see that many shot in the darks. I think they saw what happened with Sydney. I think a lot of them are going to be fearful. Be like, if I don't vote, mm-hmm. it could be because I don't vote that I go home.
Do you think they did the whole shot in the dark thing after watching Australia? Which filmed first, Australia's Brains versus Brawn or 41? I feel like Brains versus.
I'm not sure which one filmed first.
I hate both.
I know what you're talking about. And the urns. Sucks. You know what they should have done instead of a dive? Also, just thinking about it, I saw it on social media. It makes sense. This should have been where the fire token was, because you're not rolling the dice. You're literally, it's like you're paying for a chance to be safe. Like, put the fire token in the thing and you get your sheet.
You have a one in 12 chance at a sheet.
A 2 out of 12.
Two in 12 chance at a sheet with your fire token.
Yeah.
Because he had such a hard on for those fucking fire tokens.
Well, Mike White said, is it fun?
Well, a shot in the dark's not fucking fun either.
No. I know. But, so the weird thing though was, like, Ricard kept constantly trying to prod Xander to play it. Xander doesn't play it, and the only thing we hear after is Xander going, "Thanks, guys." Like, but in like a genuine, it wasn't him being sarcastic. He was like looking at both Ricard and Shane, like, "Thank you."
Yeah.
Well, so, it was interesting. You know, Tiff ends up going home. And yeah, it was kind of like, wow, like, I wasn't really sure what was going on after all this live tribal stuff and everyone's kind of tripping out, but the plan stayed the same as it was going into tribal, I'm assuming, right?
One of the three that was told to us before they left that wasn't really sealed in.
The main plan was given. I have all the votes also, if you want to know how that happened.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
And we see Tiffany basically say, hey, this is a dream come true, and I'm glad to be the first person on the jury. Sarah F says Tiff was robbed, screw Shan and her dirty ass. It's crazy because a lot of people have been.
Why would you read that?
Huh? Well, because I'm just fucking reading a comment. I feel a lot of people have been screwed this season. I feel that Voce was screwed.
Say the second part.
anyway, I don't care. All I'm saying is a lot of people, this is NSFW. I feel like a lot of players, I mean, Danny McRae was really fucking pissed off about how the fucking hourglass thing went. I think a lot of players that are playing the game are getting out of the game under wild circumstances that
nefarious
may not
have means.
Let's just say this. Let's be clear here. Yeah. Tiffany was not screwed by a twist or anything. She was screwed by being in the minority of a game. And guess what? She wasn't screwed because she wasn't even supposed to be on this season.
Yeah, that's true. I would be very happy.
What's better than making jury? Yep. You went from being not on the show to making the jury.
And I thought she would have – I thought Tiffany, obviously, earlier on the season was going to go way before she did. She is very lucky. But, yeah, moving forward, my picks of a final four, Evie, Shan, Xander, and Ricard. I love a lot of these players.
Well, I don't
I love
think
it'll
be a final four. I don't see them working together, but
I'm just saying I love those players. Yeah. I'm digging the cast, and I'm hoping that shit gets fucking crazy. Just I'm cool with some of the stuff that they're trying. Jeff doing the stuff for kids where they're like trying to do the you know, little.
I don't know. If she's the goat. I think she has something else waiting for her to be determined.
But yeah, I'm. You know, hey, I'm glad Survivor's back on. And,
yeah, I'm digging it. As I said, I needed to take a step. I think tonight was the first night where I allowed myself to take a step back and go, this isn't the first 40 seasons of Survivor. This is season 41. It is a reset. It is a new start. It is a new show. And I think if you can accept that, then I think it will probably be a much better viewing afterwards as a whole.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Good for them. Yeah. Hey, be smart. I mean, like, as I said, like the rating for So what is it? 6.8 million viewers. Is that what they're averaging?
I don't know the numbers.
Okay, let's just say for argument's sake, let's say it's 6 million people. For my finale, there were 33 million. Mm-hmm. That's not how TV's done.
It's streaming now. It's streaming option. Yeah, it's all, and that's like all cable numbers and day after numbers. It's never including. Oh, how many people are watching on Paramount Plus the next day or on YouTube TV or none on Hulu or all that.
Which is crazy because, I mean, most young people, I don't think, like my kids, for example, don't watch, unless I'm watching Survivor, they're watching YouTube or Netflix. They don't even know what TV is.
I'm not, the only thing I'm watching on live television is Survivor or a sporting event.
Yeah.
That's it. And I consider wrestling a sporting event for those who want
to. Well, yeah, it's sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment.
But great episode, Tiff. Hey, it was great to see you, you know, have your dream come true. You made the jury. It's better than I did. So props to you.
Well, and, I've gone on record saying that Tiffany's a better player than Matt Bischoff.
I'm done. I'm done.
That was making the highlight clip right there.
Fuck. But if you guys like the coverage we're doing here, Johnny and I do once a week, we are doing a Australian Survivor 2018 coverage on our Patreon, as well as a Q&A where our fans and supporters on our Patreon get to ask us anything you guys want. Most of the time, it's not Survivor related. It's about Johnny Fairplay fucking 8 times in 12 hours. So it's very entertaining. And we fucking love doing those podcasts. Yeah. So Johnny, tell them where you can go to check all that out.
Oh, wait.
Uh-oh, the Johnny. No,
they can go to adfreensfw.com and become a patron. Try it for 1 month. I think you'll love it. If you don't, I'll give your money back. There's no one being held hostage there. Go to adfreensfw.com. Try it for 1 month. This said, there's thousands of hours of video and audio of exclusive Patreon content there. We're watching Australian Survivor. We had the link to watch, and then we do a weekly podcast each week. We do the Q&A. We have game night once a month. And we're actually looking to do, going to add some new stuff here in the next couple weeks. So be ready. I'm thinking Castaway Watch Along for Micronesia because it's about to hit
Netflix.
It's about to hit Netflix next week. So look for an episode of that starting in a week. So I'm so stoked. So ad-free nsfw.com. Give us a try. Also get a t-shirt at johnnyfairplay.com. They're great. You'll love them. What else?
Live shows Alex. Coming up, Johnny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I totally forgot. Yes, December 1st. This is so cool. So I've done shows all over the U.S., live Survivor viewing parties. And I was in Nashville a couple years ago at Zany's Comedy Club, and it was really cool. And I'm always looking for this next experience. Like I'm like Jeff Probst. I'm trying to make it, trying to reinvent it. Except I think this is a good idea. So I'm going to Doghouse Saloon December 1st. It's a Wednesday night. I'm guessing it's 2 weeks before the finale, if I'm doing my math correctly. So Wednesday, December 1st, I will be in Nashville. Get tickets at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. And so the Doghouse Saloon, they have this thing called the Premier Lounge, and it is one of the biggest video screens at a bar in the United States. And so we will be watching Survivor on this huge screen in Nashville. And I'm so beyond excited. Of course, there's going to be surprise castaways there. I talked to one yesterday. They are very excited, and so am I. I think there's going to be some other reality stars. And I think some wrestlers are coming by as well. I think it's going to be really cool. So go to SurvivorTix.com, SurvivorTix.com. Get your tickets now, December 1st. I'm flying down. I'm playing pinball that afternoon, and then I'm watching the show that night. Flying out the next day. Well, like probably playing some pinball the next day, and then flying out. I'm beyond excited. So, but check out SurvivorTix.com. And then Alex, who's the big get on the deep dive on our extended coverage of Survivor 41? There's always a second deep dive episode covering this season each and every week. Alex, what's the intel there?
Yeah, so on Sunday at 8:30 p.m., Alex Rubino and Lauren Pratt will be back with the deep dive with special guests. David vs. Goliath alumni Lyrsa will be on the podcast to discuss and break down even further this episode and everything that happened. And as well, tomorrow, Johnny, myself, and Lauren will be back talking the challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies. And on Mondays, time, we think around 4:30, we will be doing our coverage of the challenge All Stars 2, which will be streaming on Paramount Plus starting this Thursday.
Yeah. So holy moly, are we loaded with stuff. So, yeah. And give our sponsors a try. Magic Spoon is great. I have it in the mornings. I have it for a late night snack. Manscaped is the perfect Christmas gift. Go ahead and get that order in now, so you have it in time for Christmas. No one wants a bush. Give yourself a Manscaped. Blue Chew. I can speak from experience. I had sex 12 times in 8 hours, and I'm still suffering the consequences. Do not try that at home. Go to bluechew.com, promo code Survivor. You'll see the commercial here. And don't smoke. Go to Lucy and lucy.co. Use promo code Survivor. But Matt, Alex, this has been fun. I mean, we've been talking for an hour and a half because we love this stuff so much. Fuck, so yeah. This was not a hate watch. This isn't us airing our grief. You know, like I see all the negative stuff and all these Facebook groups and on social media. Hey, man, it's different. And that's okay. You know, if you like the old stuff, go watch the old stuff. There's Paramount Plus. Starting next week, you can watch Johnny Fairplay on Micronesia. Don't blink. You can watch Lyrsa on David vs. Goliath. You can watch a little longer. You can blink
a few times.
Yeah, so not a whole bunch, but you can blink enough.
Yeah, so, the only constant in life is change, folks.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, I'm just happy Survivor is back. Yeah. You know, I think the cast is great. This whole season, it's just been a little bit, it's different.
Different.
So that's all it is. It's I compare it to one of my favorite bands all of a sudden putting out a record that's experimental and different. And at first, maybe I'm like, man, I'm not down with it. But the more I listen to it, the better it fucking gets. I think that's what we got with season 41. And I'm stoked to be here. And we will see you guys next week on another recap of Survivor season 41. Cheers and good night, you guys.
Oh, here's another word from our sponsor.
Yeah.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code Survivor.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.